Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 long seasons of exile in the National League. Dedicated staff and passionate supporters celebrate the city's return to glory, the big time, all while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in that higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One's promised land? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu. You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network. Suboptimal Radio.
Welcome to a Men in Blazers pod special. It's Davo here with a new installment of our pod special series presented by our friends at Camarena Tequila, who are supporting this collection of extended conversations with some of the biggest guests in the Men in Blazers universe. Today's guest, one of British hip-hop's biggest and brightest young names, straight out of Manchester, H. This conversation covers two of the things so deeply embedded into his hometown's proud and swaggering DNA, music and football. And as you'll hear, for better or worse, H is proper Manchester United. One quick note, this conversation was taped prior to the season's end, but we've left it all in there so you could get a true sense of how he was feeling as he grappled with the Sophie's choice of whom he would rather win the title, City or Liverpool. So here it is, our Men in Blazers pod special with H, presented by Camarena Tequila.
My guest today broke out as a 17-year-old wunderkind, spitting bars in homemade parking lot music videos with the impudent virtuosity that's come to define him. 5 years later, he skyrocketed to international fame, planting the flag for UK hip-hop up north in Manchester by making music that he calls Manchesterize, total 100% Manchester. It is genuinely a joy to welcome a gent whose flow and rhyme are always at Cantona levels, fresh off the release of his latest single, Baby. Welcome to the mighty H.
Yo, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, H, it is a joy to have you. We can tell by your accent, you are from Mostyn,
yes.
North Manchester, one of the most swaggering and confident cities in the world. Can you describe the mindset in Manchester to someone who's not been there? Because it is different to everywhere else in the world.
It's very Manchester orientated in the sense of like, it's Manchester or nothing. You know what I'm saying? If we're going to take an opinion of someone from elsewhere or someone from Manchester, being from Manchester, you're going to think, yeah, the Mancunian's right. I'll agree with the Mancunian. It's a blessing and a curse at the same time, I reckon. It's confident, it's a bit flossy. I think we've earned that title a little bit just through certain things. Like, we've always been, like, home to the biggest football, the biggest music. Maybe we have that little chip on our shoulder that no one else has quite got.
I love anything that's a bit flossy, but what's the dark side of it?
There's only so much Manchester you can take in, I suppose. Like, it's always good to stay grounded and not forget, like, where you come from and whatnot. But then you also need to get to that point of realisation where it's like, right, but I do need to get out of here now and I do need to experience more things, you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, because I'm from Liverpool, also in the northwest.
Yeah.
Sworn enemy of Manchester.
We're like cousins that don't like each other. That's what it's like, Manchester and Liverpool.
I mean, it's fascinating that you say that, because it is family. Both cities hate each other. But they are incredibly similar in that football and music are everywhere.
Yep. 100%. There's definitely a lot of similarities. I've definitely got a little soft spot for Liverpool in my heart. I can't lie to you. I can't lie.
It is mutual. It is honestly mutual. And Manchester's created a stream of massive swaggering bands. The Smiths, the Stone Roses, Oasis, everyone there on the streets, like in Liverpool, thinks they're either going to be a football star or a musical superstar. H, you've actually made it. When you look on your journey, what's been the secret of your success?
Staying true to myself, not trying to portray as something that I'm not.
Yeah, but you make it sound so bloody easy, H. I've tried to stay true to myself. It's got me absolutely nowhere.
I've made the right moves. I'm quite easy to get along with. If anyone's got a problem with me, 9 times out of 10, it's on them, not me.
I did love this quote of yours, because Manchester now has a ton of popular acts, Bugsy Malone, Gecko, and I Am DDB. But the globally famous bands I mentioned, the Oasis's, the Stone Roses, you once said, don't get it twisted. It was always a scene everyone knew about, but for people my age, it's in the past. Something your mum and dad listened to. That was very sobering.
I actually don't remember saying that, but it definitely sounds like something I would say, 100%. I remember being baffled. I remember saying to my sister, like, do you know who Eminem is? She was like 9 at the time. She was like, yeah, obviously I know who Eminem is. And I remember thinking, Eminem's not even released a song for the past 5 years. There's no explaining it. It just lives on for some reason, doesn't it?
God, I can't wait till we get to the point in time when, like, people like H and Gecko, that's dad and mum's music.
Exactly, exactly. I'm waiting to see what the next kind of, like, the next vibe is going to be. But, yeah. I was literally having a conversation the other day with someone about what I want to do and what I want to do when I'm older within my career and that. Long story short, I was just chatting about getting into acting and someone said to me, would you keep your name H when you do films or would you do the whole government name? And I think I'd probably have the government name because all the old heads who were like my age at the time, so say I'm like 40 in a film, yeah, all the 40-year-olds around my age, they'll all be saying like, oh yeah, look at H in the film. But all these new kids coming up, all these new, whatever, 13, 14-year-olds, they'll be like, wow, look at Harrison. They don't even know H, yeah. They just know Harrison, the actor, you know what I'm saying?
I can't wait for the movie that stars Harrison and H together at last in the same movie. That's like Eddie Murphy playing every role in Big Mama's House.
We'll get there one day.
About your own rise, you once said, I always had this feeling that I'd never settle for what everyone else was doing. It was fame or nothing for me. And your career began where many great careers begin. Drunk, in the park, with your mates. You apparently gave them an impromptu rap performance. They loved it, started uploading your videos onto YouTube. There's something about your story that is very, very Manchester. Such a confidence in that city when you walk its streets. But you only needed one person to tell you you were good and you were off.
I believed in myself. I thought I was sick. Do you get what I'm saying? But then it's like, I just need someone else to tell me I'm sick and then I'll do it. My one friend who, funnily enough, yeah, my one friend who I first started rapping with or two, I basically just wrote some bars and was spitting to him. And he was like, yo, you're sick. And I was like, yeah, I know, but I'm not going to tell everyone, to be fair. Like, we'll just keep it between me and you. That was a secret for months, talking like 5-6 months. And then one time we were just behind some abandoned church and I just got everyone, I said, everyone sit down. Everyone sat down and I played a beat and just started rapping in front of everyone. I don't even know.
This is like the hip-hop Phil Foden story, because your breakthrough came with the freestyle Straight Rhymes,
yes,
which you posted in mid-2018. And it's an incredible track. It's paralyzed in its metallic simplicity. The beat is a loop. The narrative, that of an 18-year-old kid in a tracksuit rapping while he and his friends loiter around the local car park. But it struck a chord. It went viral overnight. It now has got over 25 million views. And I believe that night when it blew up, your phone literally overheated. So many people were texting you about it.
At the car park, there where you see the video, my friend lives there on that estate. So we was there, we was all chilling. The video was out at this point. We was just chilling in his house playing FIFA or whatever. My phone, I was just getting notifications. Obviously, these times I had my notifications on because I never used to get that many anyway. So my phone just going ding, 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 like didn't stop. I've never seen nothing like it in my life. It was weird. When I went in my pocket and gone to open my phone, there was like a thermometer symbol on the phone. You need to turn it off.
What was that like almost overnight becoming a national phenomenon? You must have gone to bed that night knowing that your life was never going to be the same again.
I didn't really think about it too much, to be honest. I think my next thought was like, oh, my next one needs to be better now. My next one needs to be better than that. I never wanted to be like one of them people that do something, sit like, yeah, it blew up now and then you don't see him again. The next thing he does is so underwhelming compared to the thing before it. So I think that was on my mind a lot.
I do think that that is the secret of success, is that when something really blows up, the person who drops it already knows what the next couple of moves are, like a chess player.
You can't get too comfy too early, man. You got to just keep going.
You said once that you thought Straight Rhymes resonated with people because, Well, really, because it was so basic. In your words, not as glamorous as something from down south. Authenticity, such an overused term in the age of social media. But how do you think this sense that you were so real, just a normal teenager, I think you were working as a labourer for your granddad right at the time.
I was, yeah.
Messing around with his friends played into your success.
The timing's definitely a big thing, 100%. Around the time, it was just a lot of drill music. Obviously, like it is now, but drill music was different then than it is now. It was just drill music. I was like the only person at the time that's came out and not rapped about drill or anything like that. So I think it was like a little breath of fresh air for everyone. And I think it just related a lot to people, because as much as all the drill music relates to people, there's so many people where it doesn't relate and the opposite relates. We knew we didn't need like a Rolls Royce and some diamond chains and stuff like that. We was like, come on, let's just put the polos in the background and flex. I had my Armani man bag on. That was my flex.
But anyway, the polos, you mean the VW polos?
Yeah, my polo, my manager had his. I think he had a Golf, actually. His was better than mine. Yeah.
And flex. You know what feels even better than correctly predicting the outcome of a football game? Winning up to 100 times your cash while doing it. Cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, an enormous selection of players and stat types. That's what makes Prize Picks America's number one fantasy sports app. We love easy gameplay here at Men in Blazers. Just love it. Easy gameplay. Prize Picks offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments of the sports season. Look, for Everton fans, it's not been the easiest campaign, although it hasn't been the worst either yet. But one way to make those Sean Dyche-induced draws more exciting, Prize Picks. Love smashing more on Jordan Pickford saves, less on Michael Keane passes completed, and much, much less on Beto goal contributions. Oh, it allows me to feel good about feeling bad. Download the app today and use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator, Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham Fortress, known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, some for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favourites in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this, as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke Espresso Blend, have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage. If I had to pin down an official moment to mark the age transition from Manchester rap prodigy to true pop star, it would be summer 2019 when you, H, appeared on Ed Sheeran's Take Me Back to London remix with Stormzy and JK. What was that like when Sheeran reached out to you via Instagram first, right? Where were you? What did you see when Sheeran dropped into your DMs?
Wow, I wish I remembered that.
Just another day for you, H.
I think JK told me before I spoke to Ed. I think JK said to me that, yeah, Ed's doing a remix and getting me and you on it, do like a Manchester, Birmingham, London thing. And I was like, oh, swear, yeah, but I didn't really pay him no mind because I've not heard it from Ed anyway. I thought maybe JK's on it, Ed might have mentioned me, but because he's not shouted me, he must just be doing JK on it. Yeah, I don't remember the actual message, I really don't, if I'm totally honest with you, but I obviously then checked my phone and Ed had messaged me and I was like, yeah, damn right, let's do it. Me and JK went to London, we recorded both our verses, we left straight away, and then we recorded the video the next couple of weeks after that. Ed came to Manchester, I came to Moston, we took him to the cafe.
You're like, let's just take him to the cafe right by my mum's house. Describe the scene, because I think American people need to get their head around.
basically, I need to take away my Manchester accent a little bit. I keep thinking I'm speaking to someone in the UK.
Never.
I got Ed Sheeran. I took him to the hood. Yeah. I walked out my mum's house, walked around the corner, met Ed Sheeran on the corner. He came out the bus. We walked over to the cafe. We had some breakfast in the cafe.
Just like the whole estate was just pressing their faces against the window, watching Sheeran eat a bacon butty.
Yeah, the whole block was just out there waiting for us, waiting for people. The atmosphere was crazy, so then we shot some of the video in the cafe, and then we went to another location where we got all the motorbikes out and whatnot. I mean, we had Ed Sheeran on the motorbike and stuff like that. It was crazy. And then we drove up to Birmingham, where JK's from, and we shot the rest of it in a pub in Birmingham. And yeah, and you see in the video, Ed Sheeran's got my coat on. I've never wore it ever since. It's still there.
Are you just like, of course I'm eating a bacon butty with Sheeran in the calf?
Yes.
Or are you like, inside, you're like, holy crap, I've been in this calf a million times as a kid, dreaming of plans, and now I'm doing them. Which one is it?
I think it was the first one. I think it's just more I'm here with Ed in the calf. But that's obviously my mindset, but also how just natural and down to earth.
He's proper Ipswich Town, is what you're trying to say. My favourite line of yours in that song, by the way, H, is when you address soft southerners in general and Londoners in particular, and you say, gets cold up north, pat your hat and your tacky.
Yeah. Come on, man. All my friends from London, but everyone who comes down here, they always say, it's always raining, it's always cold up here. And I'm like, you just come on the wrong day, it's nice. It gets cold up north, man. It gets cold.
You're embarking on your first North American tour in a couple of weeks. Stopping in Brooklyn, LA, Atlanta, rolling across the United States. Can you describe what the reception's been like for you in America?
It's been good, man. It's like slowly but surely just keep building up, keeps growing. Baby, the new single, that's done a lot for the USA audience. I feel like everyone's loved that one. I'm just keep getting my face out there. I keep going over there, made some good friends over there, some good connects. I keep making music out there. Obviously, the tour's going to push it out a little bit. I'm going to make sure everyone turns up on the tour. And yeah, man, we're just going to keep pushing.
What's it like when you take industry meetings in LA? Do you act the same as you do in London, or have you had to adapt your approach, play a bit different?
It's kind of the same, because I'm not trying to sell them a lot of dream like I'm some type of person that I'm not, and I've got to live two lives. I've got to live my Manchester life and my LA life. At the end of the day, I just feel like it's just the right people need to give you that cosign, I suppose, because I know I'm a good rapper. So when you just get put in the right eyes, or the right ears even, then you're good to go.
Is there a city that you're most looking forward to travelling to?
I'm looking forward to go to Atlanta because I've not been there before. That's where it's at right now. Atlanta's the place to be right now over there. For rap music, like, you know what I'm saying, studio-wise, or sick producers out there, sick rappers out there.
JR Crickets, Lemon Pepper Wet. I know you're all about the fried chicken.
Damn right.
For a lot of British artists, breaking America is the ultimate signifier of, well, success, really. But I'm interested how you see it, because so much of the UK rap scene, your music included, is so regionally specific. So much of yours, particularly your early stuff, was made in Manchester, for Manchester. Lines like, grew up sliding round in North Manny, you can kind of tell. When you're performing for American fans, is a part of your thinking, H, does my crowd really understand this?
We'll see when I go on tour. I do get that certain things that will be going off in the UK, it won't be the same in America. I've definitely changed the set list from Reading and Leeds to Chicago. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's definitely different vibes on there, but it's all about trial and error, I suppose. I'll do the first show. I'll test some things out. I'll keep switching it up.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's all about energy.
Yeah, of course. People have to be an actual supporter to buy a ticket to your show. I'm presuming that they're going to know a lot of the music anyway.
I love this line of yours from The Guardian. You said, I'm maturing as we go along. As I get older, I'm understanding more, learning more, and I just want everyone to come on the journey with me. An attitude which I've got to tell you, H, I really love. What is the most important lesson you've learned so far?
I've learned a couple of lessons. It's good to get people's opinions, but at the same time, too many opinions can throw yours off and you start making decisions that you didn't originally want to make. From an artist point of view, or even like whatever a creative point of view, obviously you're the one that got yourself in a certain position in the first place. You know, no one else didn't like write my lyrics on straight rhymes for me to get there. Like, I wanted that beat. I wanted to use that beat, and you get to yourself on a certain platform. I'm a bit more strategic about what I release. So I'm in the studio, I'll get people to come in the studio saying, what do you think of this, what do you think of this? But I wasn't saying that at first when I was first trying to blow. I felt like I knew what was best for me. Take a little bit of advice, but don't take too much. I think that's definitely an important one. For me anyway, personally. At the end of the day, especially music, it's all opinions anyway. Not every song is going to appeal to every audience. As long as you like it, I feel like you can just go with it because there's so many people like you.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalogue. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. I'm currently listening to The Secret Hours by Mick Herron. That's the standalone prequel to the majestic Slow Horses television series. I can't stop listening. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. That's audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know, with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba, and booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
We've got to talk about the football. As a kid, you played for the mighty Moston Brook FC. I think everyone knows that you were captain. You were a Patrice Everest left back. What kind of footballer was young H?
I was good, man. I really wanted to be a midfielder, but I wasn't fit enough. So I would just stay firm at the back. And when I got the ball, I had a little ping on me. I'd get an assist from left back and that, just pinging it over the top. That was me, I suppose. And then I got a little bit older. You start going out a little bit more and experiencing new things. And obviously the football thing slows down a little bit, but
you lose a step.
Yeah, you lose it. But I've always regretted not carrying on. I did consider myself a good left back. I was definitely good. I think that's why I got put captain at the time. But I don't know what happened to me. Just at one stage of my life, I just like turned slow. Like I used to be quick and then I was slow and then everyone was just running past me. And I played something called Soccer Aid not too long ago. Wow, I was so unfit. I could not breathe. I almost had an heart attack.
The finishing was still there, H.
It was there. I've still got it a little bit.
One thing that you do have in common with many, many Americans, Glazers not included, is your love of Manchester United. You actually come from a family of light blues. Most of the members of the H family are City fans, but I believe your dad was the odd man out. Tell us how that worked and how you made the choice.
Me personally, I've just grew up knowing nothing but United. My dad was a United fan. That's it. That's what happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, my dad's dad, he was a Man City fan. My dad's brother's a City fan. My mum's brother's a City fan. A lot of City fans. My dad must have just turned one day, just turned on the gang and went United. So then that's what I've just been doing ever since.
Dad's gone rogue.
Yeah.
But at the time, that must have seemed like a fortuitous bit of luck. You were born in 1999. I like to believe you saw United win the Champions League in the womb.
Yeah.
But growing up in an era of United dominance, Manchester United had won 8 league titles by the time you were 13. The glory days of Sir Alex. Can you give us a burst of what that was like? Did you think they would never end?
It was sick. It's a shame to see what's going on right now. Going through all that, the Champions League 2008. It was crazy. And then I suppose everything comes to a stop at some point. Especially being from Manchester, it's hard to explain. It's just a feeling that you cannot understand, that you can't describe. It's so sick. And like, even like everyone, you could be having a bad week, but you know that United are playing at some point this week. And 9.5 times out of 10, they're going to win. So it's like, yeah, well, we love it. And they played sick football. We had so many exciting players. And then now it's like completely the opposite.
Your favourite players growing up were Wayne Rooney, my mate, and Paul Scholes. And you've said you love them because they were two certified English mans ready to ball. And Wayne Rooney's well known across America as just a giant of the game and a human wonder. But Paul Scholes' peak was right before the Premier League was massive here. Can you give us a burst of what it was like to watch the Ginger Ninja play?
He was the best. He was one of the best ever. He used to sort of screamers from miles away. He wasn't bothered about all the attention. He wasn't trying to be the star man. He just came and done his job more than you could ask for and then go home. It was just sick.
19 years he played, an incredible sense of space. It was actually like watching Sheeran if he was really athletic. And when he struck the ball, God, it stayed struck.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. It was good to watch him. I'm actually good friends with him. We met at Soccer Aid, actually, and we've just been cool since then.
What's he told you about those days?
I've not had many stories off Paul Scholes. I've had a couple of stories off Wayne, off Rooney, that I probably won't repeat.
You've said of those days, as a United fan, childhood was great. Man United weren't losing. Man United was winning titles, all that good stuff. But then Sir Alex left. Can you describe the sea change that's happened since H and how you've experienced it and how you understand it?
It's just been downhill since Sir Alex left. I think, obviously, the team's changed. It's just not the same. It's weird. Even the players, no one looks like they want to be there. We don't really know what's going on behind closed doors. It's like most of them don't even like each other. That's what they play like anyway. It's going to be hard for any manager coming off the back of Alex Ferguson. He's the best manager ever.
This season started off strong, opening 5-1 at Leeds. Bruno Fernandes hat-trick, Gary Neville, Cullen United, one of the strongest sides in the world. 4 wins, 1 draw in their first 5 games. Your mate Lings getting in amongst the goals. And then Ronaldo arrives, scores a brace in his first game against Newcastle in September. I mean, H, when Ronaldo came back, Ronaldo, it must have felt euphoric.
It was absolutely unreal. It was so sick. At the start of the season as well, I wasn't really doing much at work-wise, so I was at the game every single week. It's basically like God coming to Manchester. God has came back. He used to live in Manchester. God used to live there. He used to play in Manchester. Then he left for a little bit because he had to go take over some business elsewhere. And then God has just returned to Manchester. That's what it's like.
But it's even bigger than God. It's as if Liam Gallagher said, yeah, you know what? I'll play with Noel again.
Exactly. Like that. That's the type of level we're talking.
Yeah, but then, God, no one saw it. God went into a tailspin. Beginning October, late November, culminating that absolutely brutal 5-0 thrashing against Liverpool at the end of October, and an arguably even more ego-bruising 4-1 defeat to Watford, to bloody Watford in Ole's last game. Sweet, sweet Ole was whacked. And, well, has anything changed?
No, not really. I don't think so. It's going to be a while before anything changes, in my opinion. I think it just needs a whole new rebuild. I don't even know where to start. I don't even have the answers. I don't even know what to do. I don't know what's getting said in the changing rooms. People need to be like, yo, like, we play for Manchester United. This isn't happening. Like, this can't happen. It's like Justin Bieber losing his vocal cords. It can't happen.
I can't imagine that world. I'm not even going to allow myself to contemplate that world with Biebs without the sweet, sweet singing voice. But United lost twice to City, 2-0 at home, 4-1 at the Etihad. And I know you and Liam Gallagher have had a conversation via the media. You invited him to appear on your album, and he, being a massive City fan, said, he's a United fan, H, so it ain't happening. Can you put into words, as a United fan, how hard it is to watch City thrive at this time of darkness?
It's painful. It's so, 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 so painful. I can't lie to you. Especially now Liam's done that, because let's say we won the derby, I could have just reposted it and be like, this is better than a Liam Gallagher feature anyway, do you know what I mean? But I can't even beat him on that. Like, he's just beat me completely, so.
One of the hardest parts of the season has been watching Marcus Rashford and Jesse Lingard struggling. We love those gents. You are tight with them. What's that experience been like for you?
It's a shame. Obviously, I want to see them two more than anyone on the pitch, like every week. That's just the way things go, I suppose. Obviously, they would definitely prefer to be playing, but they're both big boys. They both know what the situation is. They both know what moves they want to make next. They definitely both deserve more time on the pitch, 100%. It's not good to see, especially being friends with them both, but at the end of the day, it's just the game, innit? It's literally the game, same way. I dropped Baybed, Dave beat me at the number one spot. It is what it is, innit? Like, it just happens.
Erik ten Hag's going to arrive for Ajax. What do you think having a bald manager will do to turn this around?
I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it. it's unturnable for a while. What are we actually going to do? What's he going to do? What is anyone going to do, really? They need Fergie to get back in the dressing room, give everyone a little slap and say, listen, this isn't happening. What's going on?
One thing that is fascinating, United fans are protesting again against their owners, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Glazer family. H, if the Glazers are watching this, what would you say to them?
Sort your out, I'd say. Sorry for my language.
Is that all part of the same sentence? Sort your out, sorry for my language, Glazers.
Put a full stop after out, and then that was to you the next part. To be fair, I don't even let myself get too mad about it. I can't get too passionate over it because I'll end up being sad all the time.
God, that's my life as an Everton fan, H. Do not do it. Who would you prefer to win the title? City or Liverpool, and why?
I prefer City to win it. A lot of the family are City fans. A lot of my friends are City fans.
It's big of you.
Ugh, I feel sick.
H, the quintessential family man. You're also a massive England fan.
Yeah.
And ahead of the Euro final, you penned a fairly beautiful spoken word track for the Football Association. It's called The Final Word. Go and listen to it if you've not heard it. It is a beautiful piece. One of the lines I love, through Sunday League, right up to the pros, using jumpers as footy posts, the concrete pitch to muddy souls, it belongs to us. It was put in stone. And H, England in the 2022 World Cup, in the group stage, have been drawn against the United States. H, can you tell us, in your heart, how's that going to go down?
Do I even have to say much about this one? It's like, listen, England aren't going to come and beat any US team at NFL. And it's the other way around for soccer. We'll call it soccer today. The USA aren't coming beating England at football or soccer. Nah, I don't see it happening. I don't know, but I doubt it. I really do.
Do you know anything about the American team?
No, I remember the Dempsey used to play in the Prem.
One of America's greatest hip-hop stars who actually played a bit of football on the side.
What, he used to rap?
Yeah, that's how he was known, predominantly. A footballer as a second career, a bit like yourself, H. But I do believe, H, when they say it's coming home, they mean to New York City, baby. Your best five-a-side team, H. H plus four, any four. Who are they and what position are you playing?
I'm going Van der Sar in net. I'm going Rio Ferdinand. I'm going to go Rio Scholes and me and Rooney.
Oh God, that H Wazza up top, that is
unstoppable. A Scouser and a Mancunian up top. What
could possibly go wrong? H, you are a beautiful human being. To your success, America, go and see this gentleman on tour. And when I say America, I mean you, Clint Dempsey. Keep putting out the good energy, H. To you, courage.
Thank you very much. Thank you, appreciate it.
Love Rog schooling H on Clint Dempsey's hip-hop skills in that conversation. And a quick plug for our entire series of Camarena conversations with the likes of Reza, Arsene Wenger and JJ Watt. If you haven't heard those yet, go back to our pod feed, check them out. We should also mention that Camarena is the official tequila of La Liga. Until next time, this is Mikey Three Limes reminding you that Camarena tequila is 40% alcohol by volume. Please enjoy responsibly and always remember, stay in charge.
Hey Prime members. You can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.